Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. We thank you for listening to this program and for listening to AFR throughout your day, and we do our very best to bring you high-quality programming and so bring you news and information and that you don't hear anywhere else, and do it from a biblical worldview. As well, we are a Christian ministry. We believe in the authority and inerrancy of the Holy Scriptures. I'm talking about the Bible. And we believe that there is one true God, Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament and New Testament. And we believe that Jesus Christ, His Son, God's Son, His story told in the Gospels, is at the absolute truth. And you cannot go to heaven when you die unless you trust and believe in Jesus Christ. You must repent of your sins, and this goes for all of us. We must repent of our sins against God. I'm talking about violation of the Ten Commandments or the Sermon on the Mount, for example, as a violation of God's law, which constitutes a sin, which God says in His Word, you must repent of that and turn from that and trust in Christ as the redemption for your sin, the blood of Christ, to have salvation. I know those are a lot of Christian words that I just used that maybe some of you are unfamiliar with, but maybe you're listening to Christian radio for the first time and thought you'd take a chance on listening to these right-wing religious wackos. And you've tuned in, well, I'm telling you, you're now accountable for what you just heard. God cares and loves everyone, including anyone listening to this program, but it's not unconditional love in the sense that you don't have to do anything. Some Christian teachers today on television and some on radio falsely lead people to believe that they don't have to do anything to receive God's love. I'm not saying you can earn God's love by your works. Don't misunderstand me. I'm saying in order to have a relationship with God, you must do what He says you must do. That's conditional. Abe, is there anything heretical about what I've said so far?
No.
Okay. So we all must repent of our sin and trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation, because Jesus died on the cross for a reason. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, the sins of the world, sins of us each individually. So you can't have a right relationship to God based on your grandma or based on you going to church on Christmas Eve. That's not going to...
Or even every Sunday.
Even, that's very true.
Good point, Ed.
Yeah.
So we must all trust and believe in the work of Christ on the cross and then live for God. And then when we die, the Bible says, you go to heaven or hell. I didn't make this up. Don't get mad at me. You know, I know that's uncomfortable for a lot of people, but the Bible says you either go to paradise or you don't. And the only people who go to heaven to live in eternity with God and all the glory that is heaven are those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ. And so we proclaim that here on American Family Radio. Right. You've been a gospel preacher your whole life. Is there anything I've said there that was not true or the Bible doesn't teach? Those are sort of the things, those aren't sort of, those are the things we believe fundamentally here at American Family Radio about truth and about the Bible.
Well, and it's to your point too, you know, the Bible says faith without works is dead, being by itself. And, you know, the Bible makes clear that we are saved when we're born again. We become children of God. And just like children in the natural, they grow up and become, you know, our desire is to grow up to become productive adults. That's what our training is meant to do. And so God, through His Word and the Holy Spirit, are doing the same thing. We come to Christ, we become born again, and then we embark on the process of sanctification to become more Christ-like. That is, you know, the goal of, in a sense, it is partly, at least, the goal of our salvation. The goal of our salvation is to be with God and to have fellowship with Him, but also to grow and reflect Him, because that was the purpose for which mankind was created, to be the image of God. So,
no, and I agree 100%. And I think a part of the problem in our culture today, and I won't name anybody in particularly, but there's a proclamation of a gospel that purports to be a gospel that doesn't include the necessary component of repentance. And it kind of makes people think, unfortunately, something that doesn't jive with the scriptures. That, as you laid it out, Tim, that faith in Jesus Christ is the necessary requirement. And as Ed pointed out, having been a beneficiary of that salvation through Jesus Christ, it changes us.
Well, I remember one time I heard a Christian person, or a celebrity that I respect, I won't name the name of the person, and I'm sure his theology is right if you sit down and talk to him one-on-one, but he made this statement, you know, I'm going to continue to proclaim and speak about God's unconditional love for people. And then he left it at that. Mm. And to your point, Abe, that's bad theology. That's not telling people the truth. What he was saying was, I don't really want to tell people that they're in sin and going to die and go to hell. I'd rather just leave it at, I'm going to tell them about God's unconditional love, as if you can live like you want to and be right with God. Mm-hmm. And we all know that is not true.
Right.
Yeah.
So, God.
Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments."
Yeah.
Commandments. You have to. Yep. Is that what he said?
That's what he said. John 14. Folks can go read that. Jesus said, "If you love me, you keep my commandments." In fact, I remember reading a long time ago a book by Chuck Colson, and I think the title was "Knowing God" or maybe "Loving God." I forget. But when he first became a Christian, he would ask preachers. He said, well, how do I know? Because they said you need to love God, and he said, "How do I know I love God? How do I know if I love God?" And nobody answered him. And he found that passage in John 14 where Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments."
And that's one of the beauties of the scriptures is that we don't have to launch off into our own opinion.
Right.
We can hide behind the Word of God. And I'm saying I use "hide" colloquially, but it's God's Word. It's not ours. We didn't set the standard.
Right.
He did. And
amen. So to close this out, we can maybe revisit this with Alex in a couple of minutes, some of this, but what would you recommend people to do, Ed, maybe who are listening to us, and they're saying, you know, I've never had that salvation experience, but I want to be right with God. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to be sure about this. What can they do?
Well, the Bible makes clear that the pattern is repentance and faith. And repentance is a turning away, not just from sin, but from our old life. And faith is a joining together of ourselves to Christ. In fact, C.S. Lewis one time said that some people get upset when you say you must repent and have faith. They just want to leave it at faith. He said, if you've been walking away from God your whole life, then turning around in faith to follow Christ is what repentance looks like. Mm. And he said that really there are two sides of the same coin, and I always love that explanation. Repentance of our sin, in a sense, means we turn away from the way we've been living our lives, which includes sin, in order to follow Christ in faith. And we believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We confess with our mouths the same truth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the Bible says, you shall be saved. When you ask God to forgive you of your sins, He will. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins.
Amen. And I would say, get the Bible and open it up to the New Testament. This is for, well, all of us need to do this on a daily basis, but I'm talking about if you're a person who has never believed before and you, this is all new to you and you want to know more about Christianity, then, and, or you want to give your life to Christ, you don't have to, you can give your life to Christ right now by praying the sinner's prayer and repenting. But if you want to read more, it'd take you, how long does it take to read the Gospel of John? A couple of hours?
Depends on someone's comprehension and reading speed.
Speed reading?
But it's not. It's okay. It's not. You're not reading War and Peace.
Okay. So go and get the Bible. Open it up. Go to the New Testament and read the book of John. Okay. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John. Read John, and there you'll have it. It'll be explained to you reading it yourself, the story of Jesus. There's much more to the faith than that, but go and read that. That'll give you what you need to know about Christianity, the book of John. It won't take you long to read that. Well, Steve, two gentlemen to introduce here. By the way, we're streaming live on Facebook if you want to watch the show, Facebook Live. Steve's here with us, Steve Jordahl. Or if you want to post a comment about the show, you can do that at Facebook Live, at our Facebook page for today's issues. Two men I want to introduce. Steve Jordahl is in studio with us with OneNewsNow.com and American Family Radio. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning where we are, East Coast. Good afternoon.
That's right.
And then Dr. Alex McFarland, who's is in the afternoon. He's East Coast. He's in the Charlotte area. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning,
gentlemen. Afternoon, I should say.
I'm loving this conversation you're having.
Hey, man, we're going to keep on with this theme, but I wanted to ask Steve. Steve bought a, as he does, he's a professional newsman. He brought a slew of news stories for us to talk about, but this program has turned into an altar call, and that's okay. I think God would have, anytime we can exalt the name of Jesus Christ, God is pleased. Steve, I wanted to ask you, forget all those stories you brought, and tell us when Christ came into your life.
Nothing could be more important than what we're talking about now.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Nothing.
Go ahead.
I remember when I was 4 years old, my mom taking me aside and kneeling with her beside my bed and accepting Christ at four. It's been a roller coaster ride for me. You know, it's always fighting the flesh. I wasn't saved.
Well, I don't know. What is that? I wouldn't be able to identify with that.
I wasn't saved from.
I'm sorry. I should from, use sarcasm.
It's okay.
Here.
No, it's true.
I will stop and let you go ahead.
I just, at four, I wasn't saved from drugs or whatever, saved from throwing temper tantrums, but I probably threw a bunch of them. I just, my impression of the Christian life is that is one of ultimate forgiveness. There's nothing we can do, there's nothing that we have done that is so bad that God cannot forgive us, that God has already forgiven us. The death of his son on the cross, are you kidding me? That is the most powerful thing in the world, and it is able to forgive sins from the east to the west. There's nothing that cannot be forgiven. If you're listening out there today and you feel like you've done something that just is beyond the pale, yeah, maybe God can forgive you because you swore, because you, you know, thought lustful thoughts or whatever. You can't forgive me for what I've done. No, he can't. Paul was a murderer. The Apostle Paul was a murderer and a persecutor. The King David was a fornicator and he murdered a man. And you know, God was abundant in his forgiveness. So.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Is that you?
I can keep going if you want.
No, you abruptly finished, and so I didn't. Alex, comment on what have we said today that you want to comment on?
Well, you know, it is such a blessing to have the assurance that whenever death comes, you're ready to meet God. I was 21 years old. You know, I had joined the church when I was 13. My whole class of Sunday school class, we were instructed to go forward and fill out a card, and we would, quote, join the church that my family was a part of at that time. But I didn't really know the Lord personally till I was 21. I was going to college, and I started going to a Bible study. And, you know, God is so merciful. I tell people I had not seen the light, and I wasn't looking for the switch. But I went to this Bible study because a girl I liked went. And I got under conviction. And at 21, I understood that, yes, Jesus died for the world, but that included Alex McFarland. And I had, you know, been rude to my parents, lied to my mom and dad. You know, I knew I was a sinner. I, for a while, wrestled with how could God love me as bad as I was. I mean, my sister and I were grew up and played with a Ouija board. And, I mean, I had done things that I knew I was a guilty sinner. But here's two verses that touch my heart. One, John 6, verse 37, Christ said, "The one who comes to me, I will not reject." Isn't that beautiful? Mm. But the other thing was 1 John 5:13, Jesus said, "These things were written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life." And to everyone listening, I would say, you need to understand that God loves you so much that he paid your price on the cross. Either you pay for your sin, but that's separation from God, or you can accept that Christ, when he was nailed to that cross, you were on his mind, and if you will pray and say, "Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe you're the Son of God who died and rose for me, and Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me." Fellas, and you all, I know you all know it, but it is a guarantee from the Word of God and the heart of Jesus. If you'll turn to him in faith, you will be saved, you'll be forgiven. Your life, your eternity will be changed. For me, it was 21. And if there's anyone listening and you're unsure, am I ready to meet God? Right now, Jesus is as close by as a prayer. Call on his name and be forgiven.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We are talking this half hour about the purpose of life, really. God Almighty gives purpose and meaning to our lives. Otherwise, if God doesn't exist, there is no purpose and meaning to our lives. We're just here today, gone tomorrow, and we're dirt. We're animals. Well, we're less than animals.
Worm food.
We're worm food. And really, without God Almighty, if there is no God, there is no moral value system to operate under that we know can be true. So our lives and the world turns into chaos if there's no moral authority, no right and wrong, no absolute truth. Alex talks about that daily on Exploring the Word. So God gives meaning and purpose to life. He explains himself in the Bible, and you can read the whole Bible. It's Genesis to Revelation. You can read about his covenant with the Jewish people, the Hebrews, in the Old Testament. And then God opens up his relationship beyond, Steve, just the Jews, to the whole world in the New Testament.
I was struck when Ed said that the Gospel of John isn't War and Peace. It is not as long as War and Peace, but frankly, it is War and Peace. We are at war with God, and we can have peace with God.
Mm-hmm. I like the way you did that. Ed, you got a comeback?
No, Steve is completely twisting what I said. And I was talking about the length, not the content. But that's okay. I forgive him.
You
know what?
Thank you.
Okay. The Gospel of John tells me I have to.
That's right.
Ed's being
my
the bigger,
human self doesn't want to, but yeah.
Ed's being the bigger person here. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. By the way, if you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net is our email address. And we're talking, Alex, you know, there's a popular myth in culture today, and this is promoted by people who claim to be Christians a lot of times, and that is this, that all religions are basically the same, and all roads lead to God, where yours may be Christianity, mine may be Buddhism, this other person over here may get in touch with God by fishing, or, you know, transcendental meditation. I mean, they're just all roads lead to God, and we shouldn't judge other people. We should just accept that, and that way we all get along. Now, what's wrong with the all roads lead to God, or all religions are basically leading to the same place? What's wrong with that?
Well, the fundamental thing that's wrong with it is that there was a man who rose from the grave named Jesus who said there is no other way. I'll give you one verse, John 8, verse 24. Christ said regarding his messiahship, he said, quote, "If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins," end of quote. But you know what? There's a scholar, I interviewed him on one of our shows, Stephen Prothero at Boston University, and he wrote a book that says God is not one. And he said that in academia, everybody says, well, all religions teach basically the same thing. So he looks at eight major world religions, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, Islam. He says, look, no, they don't. And as far as I know, he is not a Christian. But as a scholar, he says, look, this is an urban legend. All religions are not the same. They teach vastly different things. Now, here's a great point. They all might be false, but they can't all be true.
Amen. Amen.
And what sets Christianity apart is many, many, many things. But the trump card, in my opinion, is the empty tomb. Only our God was able to conquer death, and his name is Jesus.
Amen. So, you know, you can go to John, the Gospel of John in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and read that today, and that will explain to you what we've been talking about here today. It basically, you'll understand then what God is trying to say to you about your life. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Redeemer of mankind. Mm-hmm. That's the essence of the Christian faith. Am I not right about that, Abe?
No, you're spot on. And it's a beautiful thing that, and as Steve alluded to this earlier, regardless of whatever historical issues we've had, background, family life, whatever, Jesus still stands here present, ready to receive us as we just accept the gift of salvation that's provided through the sacrifice on the cross.
I alluded to that also, Abe.
Yeah, in humility.
In humility.
Right.
Yeah. Me too.
And no, Ed's not bragging. He's just stating a fact. Well, Alex, Steve, by the way, thanks for sharing your testimony. So your mom was a Christian, and she led you to the Lord?
My mom led me to the Lord, yep.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank God for godly moms.
Oh, amen.
And grandmas and grandpas and
amen.
They continue to pray.
Yes.
Throughout
yes.
our lives.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what God did in my heart? One of my grandmothers that lived with us was blind, and she would have me to read to her, and I was not saved yet. I was about 19, 20, and I was very close to my grandmother, and she would say, would you read me my Bible? And she'd say, read me over there John chapter 3, and read Isaiah 1:18. What is that? Come now, though your sins be as scarlet. And she was setting me up.
Yeah.
And she was very selective in all these scriptures about getting saved. It all coalesced, and I understood at 21 I got saved.
Praise God. Well, that spiritual manipulation worked.
And you know what? She may, I don't want to open up a can of worms here as we leave the program. She may have been blind just for that purpose.
Yeah,
To have you read to her and sow the word in your heart.
Lord, I was kidding using the word manipulation.
I was serious, Tim. This is serious. This is serious stuff right here.
She was leading. She was leading you to truth.
True.
Amen. All right, folks. We thank you for listening to our program here. Again, our Facebook page is Today's Issues. And keep listening to American Family Radio. The Bible teaching program of Dr. Alistair Begg is straight ahead. You'll benefit from that. And then on with your day here on AFR. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next time.